glory, 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 glory. Yes, you are Jehovah. I hold my peace and I watch you bring victory to execution. I hold my peace and I see healing executed. I hold my peace and I see the enemy flee before me. I hold my peace. Yes, Lord, the rebel does hold its peace. And we see you take territories for your name. You are Jehovah. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. We worship you, God. We worship you. Who is like unto thee? Among the gods, who is like unto thee? You're glorious in holiness. Fearful in praises. Always doing wonders. And our souls shout, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may have your seat. Help me look at your neighbor. With a social distancing look, and have me tell them, welcome to the King's Chambers. You know that social distancing look? Amen. Good to see you in the house of the Lord. It's wonderful to be born again. It's a miracle we don't get to celebrate mostly, but it's wonderful to be called a Christian. To be redeemed of the Lord. The spirit of fruitfulness. Acts 12. Our time is far much spent, but we'll try to work with it. Acts 12 comes right after the Synoptic Gospels. You're there, say amen. Amen. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church. Some translations say those who belonged to the way, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. When he saw that this pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound in two chains, and sentry stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off his wrists. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals," and Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gates leading to the city. It opened for them by itself. The other translation says it's opened in, on its own accord. And they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know, without a doubt, that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating." We serve a chain-breaking God. Amen. Yes, we serve a chain-breaking God. Amen. We're given an event here, an episode that took place in the life of Peter. And by the time this is happening, we have seen the death of Christ, his resurrection, his appearance, his ascension, and the Pentecost. And by the time we are getting to chapter 12, to this episode, the disciples, the core followers of Jesus, have been preaching, have been healing the sick. People have been being added to the church. The very thing that Jesus had spoken had started happening. Amen. And before this episode, we see the priests, the leaders of the Jews, persecuting the apostles. We see a lot of fights coming from them. And one man being used of God by the name Gamaliel speaks to them and says, "We should leave this man. If this thing be of men, it will die by itself. But if it be of God and you keep fighting them, you find yourselves fighting God." And they seem to have taken it, his advice, and they pulled back a little. But now we see the enemy not succeeding in using the church against itself, comes to the civil authorities and is using them against the gospel. Not succeeding in making us kill each other, he goes to the civil powers and he comes through them. And the Bible says, Herod started arresting those who are of the church or of the way with the intention to persecute them. He knows he can't do anything about them. He cannot kill the gospel, but he can persecute them. Because when we are in pain, when we are dealing with one thing after another, we park destiny somewhere. The Bible says he intended to persecute them. Now the enemy has come, attacked Jesus. And as soon as he was arrested, I'm sure he sat on his seat, watching to see, "I have finally done it." Remember, he has been winning from Abel. He doesn't take time. As soon as the seed was spoken about, anybody who came out looking had with the similitude of the seed, the enemy was after them. Now the sad part, which is fortunate to us, is that the enemy's language is lie and he believes his own lies. Because if he knew, he wouldn't have started with people like Abel. But he doesn't have the timings and seasons in his hands. God does. Amen. So he has succeeded from the blood of Abel to the prophets. Some were killed in the altars. He had succeeded this far. So before the cross, as he is watching Jesus moving from trial to trial, he is like, "I have gotten them again." But this time around he forgot, or he did not know in his foolishness, that the time had fully come for the salvation of mankind to be wrought on earth. And so from there, everything he did backfired on him. He watched the prophet die. Dead people could hit their graves and they resurrect. But then those men were still dead. This particular time, this one died and rose again. And the enemy doesn't know what to do. Then whatever he had said starts happening. He ascended to the sky. And then the disciples that he told, "Greater than this shall you do," they have started doing. And since the church is not fighting themselves, let me use the civil powers. But by the time the enemy is doing this, Jesus has ascended
to the throne of mercy. The Holy Spirit has come. It's after Pentecost. We cannot be silenced. He has come so late. He has come so late. He is coming to sell after market has closed. If he would have survived in killing you, that should have happened before. If he is coming this time, it's too late. He's trying to silence the church. Too late. Because everything that he did, it made the gospel spread further. They scattered the apostles. Churches started being birthed. They persecuted them. People wanted to know more by reason of their persecution. They wanted to know more about this Jesus. So when he shut our voices, he amplifies our power. Amen. Bible speaks of the children of Israel in Egypt, in Exodus. Chapter 1 verse 12, he says, the more they persecuted them, the more they multiplied. Somebody say outgrowing bondage. If any man be in Christ Jesus, 2 Corinthians 5:17, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Beyond everything is new. The old man could be tempted by smoking and fall. The old man couldn't let a skirt pass. The old man couldn't let a man with six pack or one pack pass by. The old man couldn't speak without lying. But when we come to Christ Jesus, it is not the old heart that is fixed. The old heart is taken away and we are given a new heart. This new heart comes with inherent mechanisms to outgrow bondage. This new creation comes with inbuilt mechanisms to beat temptation. It is ignorance that puts us down. Now, the enemy is coming after the church. And he is fighting Jesus himself. Because the church is not a product of a pastor. It is not a product of prophets and their forecast. The church is not a product of evangelists. The church is a product of Jesus Christ himself. He is the author and the finisher of its faith. So when he is coming after the church, he is coming after God himself. And God is Jehovah, mighty man in battle. He loses no battle. He has not lost one. He's not about to start. Bible says in John 1:12, as many has believed in him, to them he gave power to do what? To become the children of God. Children born not of a husband's will, not of the decision of flesh, but born of God. We are a product of God. It pleased him that we are born again at this time. It pleased him that we are who we are today. We are not a product of a wish. We are a product of divine intentions and purpose. We cannot be silenced. We cannot be persecuted out. We cannot be wished off. I wish we can walk with that understanding. I am here by God's intention. My mother might not have planned me. They told me when I came, they were planning for a boy. Maybe my father never planned me. Maybe they didn't even know I was there. But God does not operate with incidents and accidents. He is intentional. He planned you. He crafted you. The church is God's workmanship. Ephesians 2:10. We are God's craftsmanship. He sat down and crafted you. He sat down, put pieces together with an agenda in his head. It is going to come to pass. Amen. So by now, we're having an episode here. And in this chapter, we see the martyrdom of James the Apostle, the imprisonment of Apostle Paul by Herod Agrippa, and we see the miraculous deliverance out of prison. This James was James, the brother of John. He was one of the sons of Zebedee that Jesus called the sons of thunder. He witnessed the transfiguration. He was among those who were privy to such episodes. Now the enemy heard when Jesus told them, you shall receive the Comforter. And when he comes, this is what he will do. And after that, you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Samaria, in Judea, and the uttermost part of the world. Now, when prophecy is uttered, you're not the only one who hears it. When a prophecy is released about your children, a prophecy released about rebuilders, we are not the only people who hear it. That is the only way the enemy, it captures information, because he's not all-knowing. So when it is released, he goes to work. How I pray we will be believers who hear the word of God and go to work too. Hallelujah. We don't sit and wait to see. This is what God said about this child. It will happen. The enemy went to work immediately. Oh, you say they will not leave Jerusalem? By the time this is happening, they have not left Jerusalem. There is an enemy who hears when a word is spoken. But thanks be to God who gives us victory in Christ Jesus. And James is beheaded with a sword. Now, to a Roman, being beheaded with a sword was the most disgraceful death. It's better they put an axe on your head. But with a sword, to a Roman, it was the most disgraceful death. Now, what does this, the spirit of fruitfulness do when it comes to this? Number one, he empowers us and grows us for kingdom purposes. The enemy has had you being told you shall be fruitful. The enemy has had you being told this year is going to be a year of what? Fruitfulness. And he goes to work. But what does the spirit of fruitfulness do to counter the enemy? One, he empowers us and grows us for kingdom purposes. Now, James is a son of this woman who I have no clue what she thought, who comes to Jesus, and we see that in Matthew 20, 23. Comes to Jesus, and she kneels down, is holding her sons. So, what is your request? Jesus asks. And she says, grant it that when you finally restore the kingdom, one of these, my sons, shall sit with you in the seat of rulership. And Jesus says, do you know what you ask for? Because you don't just sit in places of power. You don't just dress up. You don't just make up and you're qualified for the corridors of power. The anointing is free. Destiny is God-given. Executing is, it's not free. The wineskin has to be beaten. The wineskin has to be prepared. He says, can you drink the cup? But then he tells them, yes, you are going to drink the cup. But as for sitting where you're asking, it is the Father who decides that. And we see James, his word coming to pass immediately. Why am I bringing this when it comes to being grown by the spirit of fruitfulness for kingdom purposes? It's because the success of every company, the success of every enterprise, the success of every ministry, the success of every business, it is not what happens when the pioneer and the leader is there, but what happens in their absence. Jesus, by now, has grown men who by the time he ascends to the throne, they can be faced with a sword and they don't retreat. We see an episode recorded in the book of Kings about Elijah and Elisha. And we see a discourse going on where Elisha wants to receive a double portion of the master Elijah. It is time for him to be taken to heaven. And the places they go are very symbolic. They pass through Gilgal, the place of circumcision, where we master the flesh, and it is cut. Then they go to Bethel, the house of God. You're introduced to Revelation. You're in the realm where you can hear God. Then they go to Jericho, into the manifestation of power, where we taste and see what God can do through our hands. And the last place they go is Jordan. Now, the disaster of a ministry is when baton is added over to people who have experienced Gilgal, who have experienced Bethel, who have experienced Jericho, but they have not gone through Jordan. Jordan is where you welcome and celebrate your death. Jordan is where we intentionally die and let people kill us. Jordan is where they can put nails on our hands, and when they are doing that, we say, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How come they don't know what they do and they know where the hand is to put the nail? Jordan says so. So handing over batons, pouring oil on people who can speak your tongues, who have gotten to experience your God, who have gotten to be used by your God, but they haven't died your death. Ask fathers the calamity of handing over businesses, a family business, to sons who have not been tamed. Ask leaders the pain and the frustration of handing over the mantle of leadership to people who are not business oriented. They have no clue of the mandate of the company. They don't know what the objectives of the company, their agenda is. They just want position. The success of Jesus is that he had brought people up who could die his death. He had brought them up to Jordan. And it's until Jordan that now Elisha receives a double portion of Elijah's mantle. Doesn't mean God couldn't have given him at Gilgal. Yes, he would have given him. But there is a dimension of power that if you receive in Bethel or Gilgal or Jericho, it will roast you to crisp, not the enemy. So the spirit of fruitfulness grows us for kingdom purpose because it requires power. I don't want to go to preach Pastor Prosper, and I can't cast one small demon. I want to go to work. Why do we go to school? It's so that when you're faced with a patient to diagnose and prescribe, you know what you're doing because you've been in class. I want to go into this business knowing that I carry power. I am not carrying a confession. I am carrying what the enemy can see without me talking and say, this is a woman of God. Amen. It's not for pride. It's not arrogance. We need power to execute the kingdom. Amen. And you shall receive power when the Spirit has come upon you. We need power. It is not a wrong prayer to pray, but with the right motive. We need to watch people. How do you handle and operate? The Spirit grows you so that you can be able to handle success and failure. Before you promote people, hand over batons to them at workplace, wherever you are growing. Or before God can take you to the next level, he wants to see how you handle acceptance and rejection. You know, sometimes I wish our commitment to God was like breathing. You know, when you stop breathing, you start dying. If our commitment to God was like breathing, I want to see how easily you'd allow people to stop you from breathing. Since people can stop you from being in the department. I love you. You know, I would love to see how easily I would let people make me get angry with God. Not show up in church because I'm angry with them if it was breathing. Or we would show up because we wouldn't want anybody stop us from living and watch ourselves die. But let's take it like that. It is the life of a believer. God, before he takes you to the next level, he wants to see you how you handle abundance and lack. The spirit of fruitfulness wants to see how you handle abundance and lack. He wants to see how you handle praise and criticism. How do you handle praise? You know, some of us, what sabotaged our oil is not the bad things, it's the good things. Where we were clapped out of purpose. Where we were clapped out of relevance. And before you know it, we are screaming out there and we're just making noise. Now, right now, Proverbs says, silver is tested by fire, but a man is tested by the praise he receives.
Not the praise he has given. You can't control that. The praise he receives. So why don't we do like the singer who said, every trophy that I receive, every praise that I receive, I roll it over to you. God wants to see, before I take you to the next level, the spirit of fruitfulness wants to grow you to where you can handle praise and criticism and still be you. How do you handle affirmations and insults? Jesus came healing their sick, feeding their hungry. And what did they call him? They said he's operating with the power of who? Beelzebub. What did Jesus do? He didn't even stop to answer them. He kept moving. The spirit of fruitfulness wants to grow us for kingdom purposes. And you may ask me, what do I do? Because some of us are grounded by habits we can't beat. God is your father. That's why he's dealing with it privately. God is a father. That's why he is dealing with it privately. Don't get him to where he will deal with it publicly. That's why you flip a book, he's talking about the same thing. You flip television, a preacher, you don't even know the name, is talking about the same thing. You're talking with a colleague who doesn't know you, they are talking about the same thing. God is trying to deal with it publicly because he is not in the business of exposing you. But me and God know, you and God know, what is that thing that keeps you from being fruitful? Now, I love the analogy of David. And this is key. I'm going to just read for you because we started late. Y'all took my time. I wasn't part of it. Second Samuel 22. And I'll read from verse 31. Now, this is the amplified version. Now, this is David towards his last days. The next chapter is this David's last song. So these are David's words towards his last days. He said, but as for God, his way is blameless and perfect. The word of the Lord is tested. He is a shield to all those who take refuge and trust in him. For who is God besides the Lord? Who is a rock besides our God? God is my fortress. He sets the blameless in his way. He makes my feet like the doe's feet, firm and swift. He makes my feet like the doe's feet, firm and swift. He sets me secure and confident in my high places. This is what David says God did to him. Now, David, in verse 27, which is my emphasis, he says, with the pure, you show yourself pure. Before that, he records and says, I was also blameless before him, kept myself from wrongdoing. Therefore, the Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his sight. With the loving kindness and with the loving and royal, you show yourself loving and royal. With the blameless, you show yourself blameless. With the pure, you show yourself pure. The other translation says, with the humble, you show yourself pure. Then he says, with the perverted, you show yourself astout. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. But the other word, the synonym, is you show yourself shrewd. Follow me. It is going to make sense. David has been on a journey with God. We have seen this man fight battles and lose none. We have watched David fight battles outside and forget the battles of his family. His daughter gets raped. He doesn't even show up to protect her. She has to go with her brother, Absalom. Absalom comes, and because David did nothing about it, he decided to do something about his sister and plants and kills his brother. David does nothing. The boy runs to his grandfather. The heart of David, the Bible says, longed for Absalom. You are the king. Why are you longing for somebody you have the right to reach, but you're not reaching? Because pride will deny you of the very thing you're hungry for. Joab sees the heart of the king. Oh, the Lord bless us with Boabs.
Joab. Joab saw the hunger and the wailing of the king's heart and works out comedy to bring Absalom back. And when he comes back, David says after 3 years, let him go straight to his house. He should not see my face. And Absalom, with his hot head, like me, he says, why did I come back here? I would have stayed with my grandfather. The young man is pushing for a conversation. David is not ready for it. And it is that character, Absalom, Reverend John, and revolted against David. Was he right? No, because no matter how your father is, he's still your father. But David ended up with a raped daughter, two dead sons, because he couldn't confront the issues of his family, but winning every battle outside. What am I saying? David is so talking of how he walked blamelessly. David has been with Bathsheba, which for some reasons, whenever she is spoken about, they don't say Mrs. David. They say Bathsheba, who was Uriah's wife, including in the New Testament, when they are recording about the genealogy of Jesus. They refuse to call him David's wife, call her David's wife. But David had a journey with God where God never addressed one habit twice in David's life. So by the time he sings here, he is towards his last days. He says to the humble, you show yourself as stout, shrewd. What does that word mean? I went to the dictionary. This is not revelation. I went to the dictionary. A stout means having the ability to see into a situation with intelligence, decipher into its origin, its life, see its hand, and have the ability to work it to your advantage. David has worked with God, and he has seen that when you're humble about your mistakes, when you're humble about habits that are hunting you, when you're humble about behaviors that are stopping your fruitfulness, when you come in humility to God, he comes to you and responds in a shrewd manner. He looks at it with an intelligent eye. He gives it that divine intelligence. He looks at that behavior. Why is this sister behaving this way? 14 years ago, 30 years ago, she was molested. Out of that, she is building a bitterness that makes her unlovable. That makes her walk people away that I bring her way. God, we have come to God with a humility. So he responds to that with an astute eye. He works it out. This is the heritage of the righteous. That when we come to God, he doesn't handle our mistakes the way the enemy does. But it is when you come in humility, see, to the humble, you show yourself shrewd. He looks at your behavior. When you are struggling, I want you to remember. When you're struggling to stop lying, when you're struggling to drop this and the other, when you're struggling to drop that weed from your mouth, I want you to remember, God is not seated in heaven and waiting for you to fix yourself for him. He is right with you, there with you, addressing the matter from its core. Surrender to him. What a loving father. The spirit of fruitfulness works in us, grows us for kingdom purposes. Number two. The spirit of fruitfulness, he unites us for a common goal. He unites us for a common goal. Jesus prayed in John 17, verse 11, 21, 22, 23. He kept repeating that they may be what? One. Unity concentrates our effort and makes success convenient and easy to achieve. Now, Herod, back to a key scripture. The Bible says he had James beheaded with a sword. Verse 3 says, when he saw, it pleased who? The Jews. How is it that one of us has been beheaded? And it has pleased us. The spirit of fruitfulness does not operate in disunity. The spirit of fruitfulness does not work in a church where we are building our own territories and empires. Disunity has the capacity and the potential
to make a tongue-talking Christian celebrate the disaster of another. And it pleased the Jews. Now, when we celebrate each other's calamity, when we celebrate each other's downfall, this is what happens. The enemy gets more fired to come after some more of us. But the spirit of fruitfulness works in us to unify us to where when I look at your child, I see my child. I don't sit down and say, did you hear that boy is smoking? No, I go to my closet and say, enemy, you can't have our children. You cannot have our children. Because spirit of fruitfulness works unity in us where we don't celebrate each other's downfall. You don't see a miracle delayed in my life and you start diagnosing. Maybe it's because of the way she talks. You go to your closet and say, Father, I bring my brother. In the name of Jesus, he ought to be married by now. What is happening? Hallelujah. Because unity makes us celebrate each other. Yes. And somebody preached once and said, whatever you celebrate, whatever you applaud, you attract. Is this how you celebrate people's marriages? Take yours. Is this how you respect people's wives and husbands? Is this how you pray for families and you not have your own? Take it. Is this how you are happy that somebody's business is blossoming? You're fasting and praying and they don't even know that you're praying that they succeed. Is this how you are going to handle it? Take a double portion. Is this how you handle people's children and you don't have your own? Take more than you can handle. We must arise. The spirit of fruitfulness works in unity. It unifies us to where we celebrate one another. Your battle becomes my battle. The battles of rebuilders become your battles. We don't sit down and diagnose what could pastor and the wife be doing that is causing these things. No, we face the enemy. And even if we are wrong because we are human, you pray us out. Amen. The church must start celebrating one another now. Why is he working unity in us? Because disunity operates in selfishness. It is selfishness that will make me feel my child should do better in school than yours. It is disunity and the selfishness of it that will tell me my family, my marriage, my everything should be better than yours, and I am looking for every information possible to prove yours is crumbling. It is such disunity that has crumbled in church that churches fight one another. And we park the enemy somewhere. We are fighting to see who has better program. Rebuilders, we must arise because the dispensation we are being ushered into, it is not a dispensation for such. We must celebrate churches. We see another church doing well. We celebrate, we celebrate, we celebrate. It is such a selfishness that makes fathers raise sons and daughters whom they don't wish to go further than them. I was talking with my brother yesterday. A young man that they used to be with in those days after high school, and they were on fire for Jesus. Suddenly he disappeared to nowhere because he went and submitted himself under a man who wanted his failure to prove his prophetic word. Because selfishness will make you raise people that you don't wish they become high, they go higher than you. But we must be like Jesus, who looked at his disciples, 100% man, 100% God. He says, greater things than these shall you do. Competition is an indicator that our hearts have left the divine mandate. And remember, Luke 6:38. Give and it shall be given unto you. We talk of that and we think it's just about money. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. I celebrate you. Amen. Number three. The spirit of fruitfulness helps. He preserves us. He helps us in times of need. He preserves us. The Bible says Herod put Peter in prison. And he put four squads. I don't know how strong Peter was. That he needed 16 men to guard him. He needed 16 people to guard one man. not with a gun, not, I don't know how strong he was, or I don't know how weak those soldiers were.
Now the Bible says, when Peter was kept in prison, the church went into prayer. How does God preserve us? He raises intercessors for us. And mark it, the Bible doesn't say Peter's wife because he had family. It doesn't say Peter's family. If they're praying, we don't know. But the Bible says the church went into prayer for Peter. When you see my marriage grounded, when you see my fruitfulness being hampered with, we should go into prayer. That's how God, that's the mechanisms in which God preserves us. The church's prayers and tears are its arms. Let us not relent in praying. There are people who are bound in your family. There are people who are bound. You have cousins, nephews, aunties. You cannot look to them and say, the Bible says. You can't go into the prisons that have bound them. But you can go to God, who can walk into prisons and doors open for him on their own accord. What am I saying? Let us pray. The last one. Number four, the spirit of fruitfulness brings deliverance in time of need. And I'll end with that. The spirit of fruitfulness, he brings deliverance in time of need. The Bible says Peter, in the night before he was brought for public trial, he was sleeping between the guards. Now you have been captured. You know that tomorrow you're going to be in the public square. Anything could happen to you. You have seen people being taken to that square and they were stoned to death. You know in you, you're not going to compromise. And instead of running helter-skelter, speaking back and forth in different tongues, Peter is sleeping. Deliverance at its core is not just anchored in our prayer. I'm not saying prayer is not important. It's not just anchored in our knowledge. I'm not saying knowledge is wrong. Knowledge is power. For I am persuaded. He had moved from knowledge to faith to being persuaded. So it's power. But deliverance from the onslaughts of the enemy at its call is anchored on our faith. Faith. Esther, chapter 4, 14. Mordecai looks at Esther and says, I have told you before to hide your nationality. But at this moment where we are, I don't care how vulnerable you have to be. Because the Jews need deliverance. In verse 14, it says, if you keep quiet a time as this, if you keep silent a time as this, deliverance will come from another place. So it wasn't a question of whether deliverance will come or not. It was a question of whether Esther will agree to be instrumental or not. Mordecai had faith. It doesn't matter what Haman has done. It doesn't matter what the enemy is planning. Deliverance is assured. Deliverance at its call is anchored on an unmovable faith that God will do it. Where somebody can wake you up in the dream and tell you your children was found so and so place and you don't fret. Sleep. Amen. It's a stance. Amen. It's not just about closing eyes. Bible says Peter was asleep. He was not running helter-skelter. Faith that the God who brought me into this, he has spoken to me. He has said that as soon as I'm done with Jerusalem, I'm done with Samaria and Judea, I am going to uttermost parts of the world. That God is going to watch his word come to pass. I don't care how many soldiers are in front of me, behind me and besides me. I don't care what happens tomorrow. Deliverance is sure to happen. Peter is sleeping. Faith that is anchored on the immutable character and nature of God will make you laugh when the enemy thinks you should be crying. Families have squads that are thrown at them. There is an enemy called Herod somewhere who throws, I don't know who, I I don't know who your 16 squads are. I don't know who your 4 squads are. Some families, it is the enemy sat down. Take your deliverer. Put them in prison. And say, watch him. Make sure he goes no farther. Some families are given squads of demons that sit on them. Girls are beautiful, they're educated, but they never enjoy marriage. Others who get married, the enemy says they can get husbands and wife, but make sure they don't enjoy that marriage. If the husband and wife are together, make sure they have other issues they are dealing with. I don't know which squad that has been thrown at you. There is a God of suddenly. There is a God of suddenly. There is a God of suddenly. There are squads that are thrown at churches. Look at this small, a trivial thing called Lark Avenue. What battles have we not fought? The other day, my husband woke up to a call from Benjamin. If you see the bamboo that they called for, Zion can pluck it out. Squads that are made are sent to make sure they stand guard on rebuilders. We don't move. But one thing they don't know, that there is a God in heaven. There is a God in heaven who called your family, who has anointed your family, and suddenly, the Bible says, the angel of the Lord walked into the prison. Peter was sleeping. He is the one who saw God. Those who are awake didn't see him. Because when the God of suddenly appears, the enemy who thought he was awake monitoring you not to get children. The enemy was monitoring you to see that your children keep smoking. He will wake up to see, when did that happen? Because we were sleeping, we didn't see him. They were awake, they did not see him. Somebody stand up and hail your master. Somebody stand up and praise the God of your suddenly. Somebody wake, somebody stand up and holler to your God of suddenly. The enemy is about to wake up and wonder, when did this happen? Where did she get married? When did she get a husband? When did those children come to God? When did that child stop smoking? There is a God of suddenly. There is a God of suddenly. He is about to wake up and say, when did her daughter start going to church? Hey, yes, 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 God. Yes. We hail our God of suddenly. We hail our God of suddenly. We hail the God of our God of suddenly. Suddenly, 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 suddenly.
Somebody open your mouth and worship. 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 Lebradoko badede sabadadi labalagada bogodo bagado sakatabaria dada. Le katabarabo shonde le debrege de gadabo sokoto bragadiza dia. Yes, 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 yes. We bow before you, the Almighty God. We bow before you, the great I am. We bow before you, the living God who is all powerful. We bow before you, the great and mighty, the great and mighty, the great and mighty, the great and mighty. Somebody open your mouth and begin to worship him. Begin to worship him for your family. Those of you watching by way of Facebook Live, begin to worship him. Sudden visitation in this season. Sudden visitation in this season. Sudden visitation of the Lord in this season. The gates shall be lifted. The gates are being lifted. God is leading your family out of it. God is leading you out of it. God is leading this ministry out of it. God is leading America out of it. Every demonic squadrons that have been set against this nation. God is bringing America out of this. God is bringing your family out of it. God is bringing your business out of it. God is bringing your career out of it. God is bringing your children out of it. Somebody open your mouth and worship him. Give him the glory, give him the glory, give him the glory. There is a God who acts suddenly, who comes suddenly, the spirit of fruitfulness. Zubede. I don't know what you've been dealing with. I don't know what your family has been dealing with. But we know one thing for sure. When the church pray, when the church pray, when the church pray, there is a shifting that takes place. When the church pray, there is an intervention that takes place. Open your mouth and begin to pray for one another right now. Lift up the family of your brother. Lift up the family of your sister. Lift up your uncles, your nephews, your nieces. Lift them before the Lord. Begin to pray right now for a sudden visitation. Every squadron that has been ordered to keep them in bondage, right now in the name of Jesus, let there be an angelic intervention. Let there be an angelic intervention. Child of God, believe in your prayer. Believe in the God to whom you pray. Let your faith arise. Let your faith arise. Let your faith arise. Let your faith arise for your family, for your sister, for your brother, for your parents, for your loved one, for your community. Begin to pray for sudden angelic intervention. Sudden angelic intervention. Let every gate be open. Let every gate be open. Let every gate be open. In this season, America, we call you forth out of this pandemic. America, we call you forth out of these racial issues. America, we call you forth out of the bondage of darkness in racial discrimination. In Leto Pataka Tabosa. Yes, Lord, we give you the glory. We honor you today, Father. You are God who answers prayer. Oh, yes, 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 yes. Legede bobo shanda la bosha. Oh, somebody, somebody, somebody speak to God. Legedebosha. Legedededogodogodobosota. Pray in the spirit right now. Likapatosa. In the next 1 minute, as we bring this service even to a gradual close, pray. Pray in the spirit. Pray in the spirit. Pray in understanding. Pray in any language that is comfortable for you right now. Let the Holy Ghost take over your tongue. Pray for this nation. Pray for this nation. Call America forth. Call America forth. Every squadron of evil assigned to guard and to destroy and to hinder the plans and the purposes of God in America. We break them today. Let there be freedom. Let there be liberty. Somebody, somebody talk to God. We give you the glory. We honor you, Father. We magnify you. Yes, 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 yes. Come and do a miracle today. 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 Your name is Yahweh. Your name is Yahweh.